Welcome to the Product Design Podcast. I'm your host, Seth Coolin, founder of UX Cabin, where we create world-class web and mobile apps. I'm excited to bring you a behind-the-scenes look into the lives of some of the most interesting and talented people in product design. We'll get strategic advice on how they got to where they are today and things they wish they would have known earlier in their career. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the Product Design Podcast. Today, we have Dennis Cortez with us. He is the head of design at North Star, a financial wellness company. Dennis, great to have you here, man. How you been?
Great. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you like to do, and what your day-to-day looks like?
Yeah. My name is Dennis Cortez. Currently living in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I am currently the head of design at North Star. It's been about 4 months since I've been here. Outside of design, big into music. So I make a lot of music under the name Cordio, make a lot of YouTube videos, and work on some side projects. Currently working on one called Taste Notes, which is a coffee app, and also UX Search, which is a design research resource that I'm working on. And big into hanging out with my pets and our partner. I have my dog here in my office today with me. And then we have two cats. Also big into like interior design, obviously big into coffee, as you can tell by the app I'm working on. That's just like kind of a big passion of mine that I've had for a while. And then music, I'm just like a huge fan of listening to it as well. Been into music since I can remember, since I was little, just like listening to my aunt. She was a jazz singer, so that was kind of my introduction into music and getting into it in that way. I'm also really big into interior design and like DIY projects. So like this office, I've built like the desk that I'm working on right now, which is a lot of fun to do projects like that. It's just really nice to get away from the computer and kind of work with my hands a little bit more. But yeah, I think overall, that's kind of the stuff I'm into at the moment.
Cool. That's awesome. I know I've been kind of following you for a while online and kind of seeing your journey, and you've had quite the interesting career being at all these different design places, and would love for you to kind of share a little bit of how you got started in the field with our listeners so they can get an understanding for your history.
Yeah, for sure. So fun fact is I actually didn't know what product design was at all until I went to college. Honestly, I thought like developers did all the design work as well. So before that, like I actually wanted to be a professional golf player or like a violist in high school. And I actually went to college originally to be a rap producer, believe it or not. So yeah, definitely didn't think I was going to go into design whatsoever. I actually originally started getting into design doing like YouTube banners, like back in the gaming kind of community. And did a lot of 3D work. Actually, I did 3D work before any other design work. And I got really into branding and illustration work. So I was posting a lot of design work on Dribbble, like pretty much daily. That was kind of like my thing to do when I was in college, just kind of like what I would do after classes and whatnot. So I was posting almost daily, and there was like a Dribbble meetup at some point in Nashville. And someone had messaged me saying they wanted to meet there. Me being an introvert, I'm very introverted. So ironically, I actually almost didn't go to the meetup, but definitely glad I did because I went ahead and met this person who their name is Jordan Halverson. And I learned that they actually had their own design agency. So I met him there, didn't really think anything of it. We met a few months later and kind of went out to dinner, and we're just talking about stuff, kind of catching up. And at that point, I had just gone to interview at Panda Express, and I was going to work there, kind of have that as a side job to do in college. But he was super kind and like really believed in my talent and whatnot. And he actually offered me a job like right on the spot instead of me working at Panda Express. So very grateful for that. But part of that was actually I needed to learn product design in order to be able to work with them, because his agency, while they did do like some branding and illustration stuff, the main kind of thing that they did was product design. So I was very fortunate because I got to learn a lot on the job, and product design kind of really struck a chord with me. I've always kind of felt like I was a more creative person, but getting into product design, it was really nice to have that balance between like an analytical perspective, like having like a mix of right brain and left brain, which I think kind of really struck a chord with me at that point. And yeah, so 10 years later, it's still like one of my favorite things to work on. I still feel like there's so much to learn. And over the years, I've kind of just worked at different places. Like I said, I started off at the design agency. It was called Verasa. Shipped like 20 different products there. And we actually got to make our own because we had a lot of off time. So that actually got me into coffee, because there was like a coffee subscription service that we made, and we were kind of developing in Nashville. So it was cool because I got to work on everything from like the actual app to like the branding, the illustration work, and even like partnering with the coffee shops, like what does their internal dashboard look like and things like that. So I got to work on a lot of stuff there. Ended up going to a place called Satchel Health afterwards. It was a remote telemedicine company. They were bringing like better healthcare to skilled nursing facilities. And yeah, I got to work there for about 3 years. I ended up shipping so many features, working on different iterations of the product. Admittedly, I was super junior at the time, maybe mid-level if even, but I ended up working on that team with a lot of the engineers. And part of that, because it was such a small team, is I actually was asked to learn how to code as well. So I didn't really think that I was going to want to be able to, you know, be able to code. I wanted to focus on design and whatnot, but it was just another thing that really clicked with me. Like having that technical side with the creative aspect and be able to make things from nothing in like a different way than we do as designers just really struck a chord with me too. So I got to do a lot of that there and worked there for about 3 years, like I said. And then I ended up going to MetaLab. So one of the top product design agencies in the world, they worked on like Slack, for example. That's what most people know them for. There I got to work on some stuff for Uber, for Facebook, Keller Williams, Prudential, and a couple other places. And there I got really, really good at my IC work. Like it really pushed me to be a better visual designer. There's some incredible designers that work there, and it was just great to be around them and have them kind of push me forward. I felt like I was probably one of the less talented designers there, which I think was a good thing in retrospect, because I learned a lot from the people that worked there. And then the last project I got to work on there was Prudential, which was like, it was like a financial planning app that we were trying to work on and explore with them. So that actually made me want to get into fintech. So from that, I ended up going to Dave, which is a banking and budgeting. Like they used to be just an app that would give people advances in their paycheck. But when I worked there, I ended up like developing a whole bank app for the company as well. And we ended up hiring a couple designers, kind of growing the team there, and got to, I think they're at like 10 million users now. And they actually just got acquired like in a SPAC deal. So they're going public pretty soon, which is exciting. Worked there for about a year and a half, I think. And then most recently, I worked at Mothership. So it's a freight and logistics company. They get to kind of create the technology that helps make like freight and delivery happen a lot quicker and faster with a lot better routes. So it was cool because we got to work on like carbon offsetting. Like how does that work actually kind of impact kind of those at that level? But yeah, I got to work there. I actually got hired as a second designer. And we ended up redoing the entire app, both the iOS app and the web application. So I got to work on those from scratch, which was really cool. So developing the entire design system, working with the engineers, and actually even got to push some code there, which was cool. And then we also hired out a team there. So I think we got to 4 designers or 5 designers. And then I ended up leaving a couple months ago, just for personal reasons, wanted to try something else, and then ended up finding North Star. So with North Star, it's really cool because the CEO, Will Pang, he's a designer too. And he was like on a podcast a while back, ended up finding him as he was just starting North Star. And I just ended up following him from that point. And then I got in touch and was like, oh, North Star is hiring. Might as well like try and look into that. Got to meet Will and actually talk to him, tell him my story about like how I ended up finding him and was a big fan of his as well. So we really hit it off, ended up joining as the head of design, like I said, a couple months ago. So right now we're working on a lot of cool projects. Believe it or not, I'm actually the only designer at the moment. So not only am I doing like the leadership and managerial work, but I'm also doing the IC work currently at the moment. So also working on recruiting too. We're actually working to hire both a product designer and a brand/communications designer at the moment. So I get to work on all the cool stuff that comes with recruiting there. And then lastly, some personal ventures of mine. Like I mentioned earlier, I do music. I've made like 11 albums so far, and I'm working on 2 others right now. I'm working on more like ambient album that I'm a huge fan of, and kind of more personal work in that regard. And then also kind of my traditional stuff where it's more like lo-fi kind of beat stuff.
Love
working
that.
Into those right now. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And then, yeah, the YouTube stuff, I've been doing that on and off for, I don't even know, like probably 7 years or so, but really picked it up about 2 years ago and started putting out videos. I try to do it at least once a month, but sometimes I'll get up to like 4 videos in a month if I'm feeling kind of productive on it. So yeah, those are some of the main stuff that I do right now outside of the apps that I mentioned I was working on.
That's awesome. It's really cool that you kind of mentioned kind of like the lo-fi ambient beat music, because believe it or not, that's like 90% of what I listen to, just because I feel like if I'm listening to songs that are lyric heavy or anything like that, I can't focus while I'm working. So I always want to have a good focus playlist of lo-fi beats and that type of genre. So that's really cool.
I always had a dream to work on music. Like I mentioned before, I wanted to be a rap producer, but obviously I saw that that wasn't kind of the direction I wanted to go. So lo-fi and like beat music ended up being popular kind of around the time that I started college back in 2012 or so. So I started finding out like a couple cool musicians through that, like Shigeto, Teebs, Flying Lotus, kind of that area. And then that kind of really just hit it off for me. I was like, man, this is so cool. I get to kind of make rap beats in a way, but it's more like laid back and more musical. And with my musical background, it was just like a really good blend for me. And yeah, I feel the same way. Like I can't listen to lyric heavy stuff when I'm working on like deep thought stuff or it's distracting. So instead I wanted to just make music like that, like stuff that you can have on in the background. It's not distracting. It's more like just peaceful background music. And it really helps me focus on stuff rather than just having like silence or anything like that.
Love it. That's awesome. So wow, you've had quite the career experience over the last handful of years. So one thing I wanted to kind of dig in and learn a little bit more about is, so you've worked at both like in-house product companies where you're building one of the products that the company owns. You've also worked at the agencies and would love to kind of hash up some of the differences between agencies and internal product company and kind of get your take on what you prefer. What are the strengths and weaknesses of each?
Yeah, that's a golden question I get a lot. To be honest, I think it really just depends on your goals and your personality too. For me, I noticed that design agencies, from my perspective, it doesn't work for me personally because it's hard for me to call something finished and just put it out there and hand it off and not really get to work on it ever again. Because that's most of the time, that's what happens. Like you just get hired for a 3 to 6 month contract. You get to put in a bunch of work and then you just hand it off to another team. Which is fine. But for me, I like to iterate on things. Like I like the aspect of being able to think about scoping and product management and how does this affect the other departments and really be involved with the collaborative process between those departments rather than at an agency, you're kind of just dealing with one or two stakeholders for the most part. And you don't really get that full sense of the product and the project that you're trying to fulfill at that point. So for me, I think there's pros and cons to each for sure. And it really just depends, again, like how you work, how you find that you work best. Like I know a lot of people that they just like to work on something for a few months and then call it done. And then they get bored and they want to work on something else. So agency is great for that. Like if you want to be able to do that, I think that's a great option. But if you want to be like super involved and kind of working with all the departments and being involved with everybody on the team and kind of get to work on something for long term, you know, like 1 or 2 years, you can even go obviously for a couple of years. So I think it kind of just depends on what your preference is there.
Yeah, that's really good. I think you hit the nail on the head, at least from my experience. If I were to contrast the two, it would be like at agency life, it's never boring, but a lot of times you don't feel like you have enough time to either put into the project you're given, or you have too much work to do in too little of time. Or you're just context switching all the time and it's hard to juggle everything. And then like for me on the other side, like the product company at their worst, it's like you just kind of have to face the same problem over and over again or the same set of problems. And there's like a certain level of endurance you need to be able to come back to the same thing and be able to work on it and like think through it. And yeah, for me personally, I kind of have shiny object syndrome. So I kind of enjoy the tension of like jumping between things. And if I get bored with something, I'm like, ah, good. I can, you know, not work on that for a day and like come back to that later. So yeah, I think you're totally right. It's just, it really comes down to, you know, individual preference and kind of, you know, what fits your life and your personality at that point in time.
Yeah, because like when you're in-house too, you can also deprioritize a lot of things and like say you can work on those like next quarter, for example, where it's like, let's just get the V1 out the door. Let's make sure we get the minimum stuff that we need in this project. And then once we, you know, maybe a company's raising like a Series A or a Series B, and at that point you can hire more people, have more resources, be able to work on more things at the time. So I enjoy that part where it's like I can kind of choose and prioritize what is the most important thing and most impactful thing that we can be doing right now, and then de-scoping the rest of it and figuring out, okay, at this point, once we hire this amount of people or once we have time, this is some of the follow-up stuff that we can do afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I kind of noticed like being in both environments, the agency side, you kind of need to put on a little bit of shine when you're presenting things versus like in-house, you could just write something on like a scratch piece of paper, show it to your team, kind of iterate on this lo-fi crappy version that no one's actually hardcore judging you on. It's just kind of like trying to, you know, iterate on these different ideas. But, you know, with the client, you kind of have to show like, okay, I thought through this and it looks good versus, you know, product. You can kind of like excuse each other as you're figuring out whatever it needs to be.
Yeah, no, that's a good point too. Like back when I was working at MetaLab, I remember we would present almost every Friday to our clients. So a lot of that work, it would take Wednesday and Thursday just to prep for that. So then a lot of the work would be smushed into 2 days. And then I'd have to spend 1 or 2 days just getting the presentation ready so that it can look all polished and whatnot. And here at a product company, I can just open my Figma file, share my screen and talk through stuff and like not have to make it all pretty and polished for the most part, which I think is helpful. Like you get to really focus and prioritize on the problems that truly matter instead of at some points you have to kind of sacrifice that a little bit. Because you have to have these presentations and kind of rush some of the work, unfortunately. Again, all just from my opinion.
Totally.
And kind of my experience, though.
Totally. Yeah, there's so many different angles on that where it's like, sometimes you get like a really big rush when you're presenting to the client because you get to hear that kind of outstanding feedback and it's like showing it to someone for the first time. And, you know, more internal is like, maybe more like steady where it's like, everyone's kind of aware of what things are going on. And maybe you don't get as much surprise, but it's just more expected and more steady. So there's so many different cool angles to both and lots to be appreciated in each environment.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So, you know, looking back at all of your different experiences, has there been like specific high or low points that you look back and you're like, wow, that was a really good time, or that was a really tough period that I went through?
Yeah, for sure. I'll start with lows just to be a bit vulnerable. So I think one for me is being fired from jobs. I've been fired in the past. And honestly, at the time, I would always blame myself and thought, this is all my fault. Like, I'm a horrible designer. I don't know what I'm doing. Really just blaming myself and looking internally. But, you know, I've learned over the years that sometimes it's just not the right fit for either party. And that's okay. That's something that I've learned with kind of those experiences. I'd say another big one that I'm unfortunately dealing with now is like not taking care of my body and my mental health. I would sit for hours and hours in college, like in a wooden chair with no cushion or anything, just like hunched over at my laptop. So like no ergonomics, I wasn't stretching or anything, doing any of that stuff. So now years later, I'm dealing with those consequences. Like I have a ton of chronic body pain, unfortunately. And I have bad burnout like 1 to 2 times a year typically. So over the years, I've gotten better and better about it. You know, I do yoga every day and try and stretch here and there throughout the day and whatnot and make sure I take breaks. But honestly, I wish I would have done that a bit more because there were parts of my life where I felt horrible And it was because I just wasn't taking care of my body or my mental health, like doing meditation, making sure to go to therapy, et cetera. Then another one is just like being closed off and not being true to myself or other people. To be honest, like I mentioned earlier, I'm very introverted. So coming from like being very concealed and kind of kept at home a lot during high school, like coming out into the real world, having to network and like meet people, see people in person and whatnot, it was really hard for me, to be honest. So I've kind of had to deal with that over the time. And like, sure, I've gotten so much better at it now. Like I pride myself, I really bring my full self to work now. It's taking a lot of learning. And I know that it's okay to bring both the good and bad to work. Coming to a team that I know I can be open about that stuff, I think is great. I've learned a lot about what I'm looking for in culture as well in regards to that. In the past, I would just be like, I just care about the work. I just care about what I'm doing at the time. I just want to know what I'm going to be doing at this job. But more and more, it's actually shifted where as long as I'm doing product design, I get to work on something cool, like I'm happy. But what's really important to me now is the culture aspect. That's like the top priority for me when I'm doing a new job search is like, I want the culture. I care about the culture. That's one of the cool things I get here at North Star is everybody's so transparent, so genuine. And I've been really, really lucky to have that. But yeah, actually that helps me transition into some of the highs. So I think for me is one of them is the roles I've gotten. To be honest, I've been very fortunate. I've just been in the right place at the right time with the right preparation. I would just be doing a ton of stuff, like kind of what I was talking about earlier, where I was posting on Dribbble basically every day. And then this person just happened to find my work and happened to be at this Dribbble meetup at the same time as me. And then that ended up getting me like my first job. And that's just kind of happened over and over. Like I've really realized that stuff just kind of happens for a reason. And admittedly, I've been very fortunate about finding that stuff and kind of having those things just kind of like the stars align basically. So yeah, there's been that. I think another thing is finding passions that have really stuck with me outside of full-time work. Like, yeah, I love design. I love it so much, but you can't be doing that stuff every day, 24 hours a day. It really doesn't help. And it makes it hard to do your best work. So I think like branching out into my dream of music and like having people actually really like it and support it has been so fulfilling for me. And finding those passions outside of work, also like my YouTube and my Patreon, I get so many kind messages about how much I've helped people, which I don't really think about it at the time. Like I just make these videos, I put them out. To be honest, I don't watch them after I put them out because I hate hearing my own voice. But it's just so nice to receive all these kind messages and have people say that I've genuinely helped them. So that's definitely a high for me. Another one is like the side projects I've found with those passions. So it's really helped me have like a really strong portfolio. I can come to job interviews now and be like, yeah, I've done all this work. I've done all this cool stuff for these companies, but here's all this stuff that I personally did for myself just because I wanted to. And that really goes a long way. Like it's actually taught me how to code. It's helped me learn about the different departments. Like I learned how to do marketing on my own, how to do the business side, how to run a company, et cetera. So that's been a big one. That's been a high that's helped me. Also doing like being able to do both IC and management. I think that's really cool to be able to do both at the same time. And I've been fortunate where I passed like three roles. I've been able to do both of them at the same time and not have to sacrifice either one, which I really like. And the last one that's a high is just I've met a ton of great teammates that I still call friends to this day, which is something I'd advise that people really take care of. If you meet somebody cool at a company and you like really vibe with them, you like working with them, and call them your good friend, like nurture those relationships. Like I have a couple people now that, you know, I've worked with at like Dave or at Mothership or even at Satchel that I'm still friends with to this day. And they really helped me with a lot of stuff. I can talk to them about things. They understand where I'm coming from because they, you know, they've worked with me. They understand my personality and whatnot. So I've been really lucky to meet a lot of cool people along the way.
Wow. So much good insight in there to unpack. I'm going to try to rewind a little bit so we can hit on some of those points that you brought up. But yeah, like, yeah, thanks for sharing some of those lows. I think, you know, so many people go through those lows, whether it be being fired or something not working out or just overworking. And I think you nailed it right on the head when you said, you know, getting fired from a particular job doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person or a bad designer. Like, it's very, very probable that it's just not the right fit. And it's like, what can I take away from this? What can I learn from this to make myself better versus just kind of like wallowing in self-defeat and like hurting your future self, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The next thing that you said that I wanted to kind of talk about was like, I don't know. I feel like I could work some days for like 12 hours and just like hunch over and just like pound away. And then at the end of it, you feel mentally exhausted, but like physically you're not able to sleep or whatever. I've had so many times where I just like pound out a ton of work and my brain is fried and I'm like the shell of a human, but I haven't like moved more than like 100 steps. And that's just so incredibly bad for your body.
Yeah, for sure. And I think another point there too that I wanted to bring up is productivity. I think it's good to think about it as like an ebb and flow. Like, I think there's this standard, especially nowadays, where it's like you need to be pumping out content all the time and whatnot. And honestly, I get really down on myself about it too. Like the past 2 weeks, I went on vacation and I needed it because that's all I was thinking about is like, I haven't made a YouTube video in a month. I haven't made any music. I'm like kicking myself on this, but I think it's important to think about it as an ebb and flow. Like some months I'm pumping out content and it just comes naturally to me and I can make music and I just love everything I make for the most part and whatnot. But then there's some months where you just got to do nothing. Like, I've been playing a ton of video games and I don't really work outside of my full-time job right now. I like very rarely at the moment touch any of my YouTube videos or like work on music. I haven't worked on music in like 2 months and I think that's okay. I think you need to be kind with yourself in terms of that, like letting yourself have those breaks, because in my opinion, taking those breaks makes the work that you make when you come back so much better. And I think it's important to just remember that. And you bringing that up, I think it's just reminded me that it's really important to keep that in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, for thinking about it, for being realistic and thinking, okay, like you get 8 hours of sleep a night roughly, and you work for 8 hours and then you have to eat in between. There's not like a lot of time left over to do all these extra things, making content, posting different designs, following side projects. So it's like, that's a lot to fit in, a lot to fit in. So like you said, you know, got to be kind with yourself.
Yeah. And people have kids too. Like I have 3 pets at the moment, so I don't completely understand, but I know like I have responsibilities for my pets that take away from that too. And people are taking care of their parents or anything like that. So I think it's important, like, not to be hard on yourself. There's so much stuff that you have to do that it's crazy that we can even get stuff done outside of our full-time work, I think.
Right. Anything above and beyond is like total bonus work.
Yeah.
You mentioned kind of like your posting on Dribbble kind of led to some things. I think that's a really, really interesting thing also to drill into. I kind of had like the same type of thing. Dribbble was really smart in that your first post, they like boosted the crap out of it. So it made you feel really good. I posted something on there. I'm like, huh, we'll see what happens. And it like, you know, first post algorithm, whatever, gets like all this feedback and all these like likes and stuff. And I'm like, holy cow, maybe I am a good designer. I started like posting more and it was kind of like just like this fun game that I was playing of, I'm just going to copy this person's stuff and see if I can recreate it and then put my own spin on it. And it was just like fun to participate and make designs that didn't have any requirements other than my own, or didn't have any stakeholder feedback or like weird job like things that you had to like adhere to. And what I found from doing all of that is it opened some doors and it got people's eyeballs on my stuff that would have never seen me before. And I think there's like a really good aspect of like, the more stuff that you do, even over the long term, even if it's once a month, like will always contribute to like your long-term career in a good way, whether it's a video or a blog post or a, you know, design that you share. In my experience, those things have always benefited me in the long run.
Yeah, I agree. Like I used to, for example, I used to write articles back in the day, and like stuff like that, I didn't really think about. I was like, oh, this is like what's fun for me at the moment. I'm just going to do this, kind of put these out, not really promoting it too much or anything like that. But like, I still get people that come to me from the blog posts or like from videos I posted years ago. And it's just, I think it's good to just keep putting things out there, especially like with nowadays, just with how vast the internet is. People just happen to stumble across your work. And the more touch points that you have out there that you build over time, it really helps. And like, keep in mind, I've been pumping out stuff for like 10 years. So again, there's like months where I don't do anything, but then there's months where I might post like a couple videos or some music or something like that. And it just adds up over time, like you said.
Exactly.
Like now, at this point, like, I don't know how many videos I've put out or whatever, but people find me through that stuff. And it's like videos that I don't even think about. Like, I remember I made this Figma video, literally just how to export assets from Figma, which us as designers, like, that's such a simple, easy thing that we do every day, or it's like very easy for us. So I didn't really think much of it, but now it's like my most popular video for whatever reason. And just stuff like that happens. So as long as you just like be prepared, like stay consistent in some way, like whether it's once a month, once a week, or whatever it is to you, however that looks for you, I think it adds up over time. So it's just about putting in that investment, not really thinking too much about it. For me, I just kind of follow what is interesting to me at the time. I feel like I've touched on that a couple times here, and it's like, that's really just stuck with me. Like there's side projects that I'm super excited about, but then I get closer and further along with them and I'm like, actually, this isn't really what I want to do. And I think that's okay. And there's just like, there's stuff that's always going to come up like that. And I think it's just like, just go after things that you like, try it out. If it doesn't work, then there's no consequences. It's whatever.
Absolutely. I think for most common people, they kind of go through like ebbs and flows of what you want to like put out there. So like earlier in my career, I was posting on Dribbble all the time. Now I haven't posted on Dribbble in like years. That's fine. I think there's this assumption of like, oh, if you're going to do this, you got to be like on point with social, Instagram, Twitter, posting blog posts, posting videos, doing all these things. And it's totally not feasible unless you have like an army of people working for you. So it's like, I don't know, you kind of like you said, you change, you know, what you like, and over time it builds up, and that's cool. Like now I'm kind of focused on this podcast and it's really fun to make, get to meet interesting people. I'm choosing this instead of other things like, you know, posting designs or whatever else. And, you know, in a few years that might change. I might be doing something totally different, but like, I don't know. I guess I would say like, don't feel pressure that you have to like be everywhere and do all the things, but just, you know, focus on what you want to do in that time period and what makes an impact for your life or what makes an impact for the community that you feel is valuable that you can contribute today.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Like you're not set on any specific journey. Like your journey is your own and you make it what it is. Like
my quest.
I've tried out so many different things. Yeah. I've tried out so many different things just because I'm interested in it. I don't really code anymore, but it's helped me currently like in my jobs, like how I communicate with engineers, for example. And at that point, I loved it. I loved learning about code. I loved doing all this stuff, but now it's like too complicated for me and it's not my passion at the moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, it's just ebbs and flows, I think.
Totally. Yeah, I'd be interested to talk a little bit about looking back at your career, hindsight being 2020. What things do you look back and you say like, oh man, I wish I would have done more of this, or I wish I would have been aware of this before going through that, that you could look back and kind of like give a critique on your early journey?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'll touch again on like taking care of your body and your mind more. That's a huge one that I wish I would have done a lot more. So taking more breaks, learning how to stretch, and being more like mindful. Like for right now, something I'm really working on in my personal life is being more present. I find what I struggle with that a lot, where I'm thinking about the future or the past causes a lot of anxiety for me and kind of isn't helpful. So trying my best to be more present. And I think I wish I would have learned that a bit earlier in my life. Mm. That's a big one. Another one is like, no one 100% knows what they're doing. And I think that's the fun of it. Like, it's just a continuous learning and growth throughout your life. You're never going to get to a point, I don't think, where you're like, oh yeah, I know everything about this subject, about this topic, especially with design. Design is changing every single day. There's so many new tools. There's new ways of doing things. There's new products, new industries, et cetera. And I think that's the fun of it and that you should take comfort in that, which I'm trying to do at the moment as well. Another one is like learning more about the parts of design that aren't in a design tool. I think early in my career, I got really hung up on like, I need to make the best looking button or the best component or whatever it was that happened to be in that design tool. But as I get further in my career, I learn there's so much stuff outside of that that really helps me be a better designer. So for example, learning the best business and product practices. How do you work with different departments? How do I work with other teams? How do I think about KPIs and how this is going to affect that stuff? How do I keep that stuff top of mind so that when I'm working, it's like a subconscious part of me rather than having to rely so much on those different departments? I try and do my best now to think about those things before it even gets to that stage, which I think has really helped me become a lot more senior in my career. So that's something I advise is like learning more about that. And then also data and research. I think that's something that I really underestimated as well early in my career. I was like, well, if this layout is perfect, like the user is going to know exactly what to do. It doesn't matter what the data says. I can just do it this way. And that is completely wrong. Like there's so many things that you can learn from research and data to really inform the decisions that you're making and like make more confident decisions. In the long run, it's a lot better to invest in that stuff early because then you won't have to do as many iterations later on because it's already informed. It already is like one of the better things that you put out. Like for example, with Apple, they only put things out once a year. And it's because for a few years, they actually work on those and put research behind it and do iterations with that. So that's something I've learned too. And then I'd say lastly is being a great communicator is really crucial to being a great designer. Like more and more, I find that that's what my role is. It's more about how do I communicate again with different departments or with people that are on my team, for example, whether it's my manager or it's people that I manage. Like the way that I communicate with them, trying to be empathetic, being kind, trying to think about how they're feeling and what I can do to help them. I found more and more that being a great communicator, both written and verbally, has been like super helpful for me and has really helped me kind of streamline a lot of the stuff that I used to struggle with before. For example, like asking the right questions when I'm working on a project. I think communication has really helped me in that regard.
Yeah. Wow. That's fantastic. I think a few things that like stuck out that I can relate to from my experience is like kind of what you mentioned initially of wanting to be like the best technically at your design or design tool and wanting to build best components. I think that's like a very normal thing to want to do as you're starting off and you're junior. And it goes without saying, like you get the most beautiful design, but if you're not asking the right questions or like understanding the problem that you're trying to solve, like that's kind of all for naught. I don't know if there's any better way to like understand the business better other than doing it 1,000 times for like 1,000 different projects. But that's something that comes over time where you learn how to, you know, redirect feedback or get feedback on the right thing or ask the right questions or present it in a better way that all come from experience. It's not necessarily something that you can just know when you're starting off and just be good at, you know, designing buttons doesn't necessarily correlate to understanding business value. So I think it's a fantastic point that you brought up.
Yeah. And not that that stuff isn't important either. There's definitely a time and place for that. Part of my strength and what I bring to my teams is I'm really good at building components. Like I know auto layout very well. I know how variants work, et cetera. I think there is a level of craft that is important, but it gets to a point where the value that it's bringing is kind of like a non-issue. where it's like you said, if I'm not solving the right problem, what does it matter like how organized my layers are
right.
in the design tool I'm using? Like that literally has no impact on anything. Like,
yeah.
You could have them all named frame 2000 or whatever. And if it's solving the right problem, that's going to be so much better than a pretty design file, for example.
Yeah, I kind of think of like your design tool as like your flamethrower, where it can make some like awesome flames. But if you're flaming the wrong thing, you're doing a lot of damage, right? You want to be pointing your firepower into the right problem to solve or fix. So, you know, it's all
I like that analogy.
You got to use it, pointing it in the right direction. Yeah. So another thing that you mentioned in that is just kind of good communication and understanding how people are doing or feeling, right? So I think, I don't know if this is old school thought or like what, but it's like if someone is not doing something well or their work seems off, yeah, I think the normal thought is like, you need to pick it up. Why are you being a bad designer? Why are you not caring about this? But what I found is like more often than not, if that type of thing is happening, it's not usually malicious or even negligent on their end. It's more of like something crazy is going on in their life and they just kind of need support or help, or, you know, they need a mulligan on this one. And this isn't their consistent behavior. So it's like, you know, let's figure out how to be humans together, figure out what's going wrong and how I can support you. The design stuff doesn't matter in the end of the day. Obviously, we want it to be like good quality, but it's far more important to kind of going back to your comment on culture, just being able to have a place where you can feel supported and where you know, hey, no one's going to yell at me if I mess up because I'm going through a really rough time in my life or whatever. And having that empathy and that awareness, I think, is super important for building and managing and existing in teams.
Yeah, I agree. And another point on that I've tried to do is also, how can I look inwards as well? Not focusing on what this person is doing right or wrong or not doing at all or whatever. It's like, maybe it was me. Maybe I miscommunicated. Maybe I didn't relay some sort of information that I know that this person doesn't. Maybe I didn't ask the right questions or anything along those lines.
Yep.
So I think it's important to have that humility and be able to look inwards as well and not always be, not necessarily pointing fingers, but, you know, trying to think like, what are these people doing on my team that is causing us not to be successful? It's like, what can I maybe do better to either empower the team as a whole, empower a certain individual that needs help at the moment, or anything like that. But yeah, I think that's just another point, is I've been trying to look inwards a bit more as well.
Absolutely. I think that speaks to like a deeper point of, you ultimately can't change anyone or make anyone do anything. But what you can do is you can change yourself and you can improve yourself for sure. So to your point, just understanding communication styles, understanding how people receive things, or even how you can make things more clear, I think is a fantastic point. We spent all this time trying to change people or teammates, and to a degree, you can help people and some people want to learn and do things better. But like, ultimately, we have the most impact on changing ourselves.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So you've had kind of a cool opportunity to work across really, really small teams, being just yourself, and really large teams with lots of teammates and things like that. I know we've kind of been talking about it in this last little piece about communication and working with teams, but do you have any insight or feedback as to like how to effectively like work in a team or manage a team or facilitate good feedback and critique within a team to keep it functioning well and productive?
Yeah. So kind of two parts to that. I'll start with the critiquing, maybe how you can critique and provide feedback. I think the main thing is to be objective in the feedback and understand that the feedback you're receiving is objective. Like, it's all about building what is best for the product and best for the user. It should never be a personal attack on anybody. So if somebody tells me that my work isn't meeting a goal that we need to do, it's not because I did anything wrong or anything like that. It's like, hey, we need to build what's best for the product or best for the goal for this specific project that we're working on. So that's the point of where the feedback should be coming from.
Yep.
You should always try and have that mindset when you're giving feedback, and also try and bring that to the rest of your team too. For example, asking a lot of clarifying questions. In my experience, there's no dumb questions. Like, other people might have the same reservations, might have the same questions that you do. And although it might be obvious to the person that made the design, I think there's a point there where it's like, this isn't obvious to me.
Right.
Like, here's maybe some feedback that could help us kind of get closer to that goal. And then also, like, on the other side, when you're presenting work, I think something that's been super helpful for me is asking for specific feedback that I'm looking for. Like, hey, I'm working on this specific screen, this specific part of the screen. I'm looking for feedback on, like, does this meet this goal? Does this flow feel correct? Is there any parts that are confusing, et cetera? You should never come to a critique or feedback and just be like, what do you think? Because it's a bit too open-ended. You really need to drive that conversation and drive the feedback that you're looking for. One, not only to save time, of course, and kind of get everybody have their time back, but also I think it's just respectful of everybody else. It's like,
yep,
here's exactly what I'm looking for. You don't need to worry about maybe these buttons over here. We're not focusing on those right now. So let's focus on what's important right here. Yeah. And then for the part of, like, managing and building design teams, for me, I'll go back to culture. I think culture of team should always be the main priority. Hiring people isn't just about skill. It should be about, how does this person complement the team, both from a personal, like, culture perspective and also skill-wise? Like, do we already have enough people that are really good visually, and now we need somebody who's great at the UX portion and the research portion, for example? And then the way that I like to think about culture, which I've actually learned at North Star, which I really like how they put this, it's like, think of culture as a culture ad, not a culture fit.
Yep.
Because when you're looking for a culture fit, you're looking for people who are exactly like you or exactly
right,
like everybody else on the team. And that's how you lead to getting teams that don't have diverse backgrounds, don't have a diverse set of people. So instead, what I try and do is do a culture add. Like, how is this person going to add something new or something different to this team?
Yep.
Whether, again, whether it's personality, whether it's their approach to culture or to design, or maybe their skill set, for example. And then another one is figuring out management style. So whether you're the manager or you're the person being managed, I think there's some questions that you can ask yourself to really get clear on that other person. So, for example, if I'm the person that's being managed, how do I like to be managed? What type of feedback is helpful for me? What type of projects do I enjoy working on? Do I need somebody who's more hands-on and giving me more direction? And, like, for me personally, I'm more of a hands-off person. I'm pretty autonomous. I don't really like to be micromanaged. I'd rather you just, here's what we need to do. Here's the problem we're trying to solve. Go ahead and do it. So that's kind of like my direct report style. And then also thinking about, from a manager perspective, learn to care deeply about your teammates and about them. Learn exactly who they are, what their goals are, what they like to do outside of work. Really nurture that friendship and that relationship with that person. Because for me, the best managers I've had have also been, like, great friends of mine and people that I can get along with and that understand my manager style and what I kind of need. And also listening empathetically at all times. Listening empathetically has been very impactful for me. I try and listen to people and think about where they're coming from more so than how I can change their opinion or give them advice
right,
to kind of change what they're thinking. It's like, let me think about where this person is coming from and how I can kind of help them from their position. And then also lastly is, know when you need to teach and when you need to learn. So what I mean by that is, again, going back to my point earlier, where it's like, you're always learning. It's always going to be a constant learning and growth period for you. So even now, where it's like, I've managed people and things like that, I know where my strengths are and I know what I'm good at. And I know when I need to kind of step in and give my opinion or give advice or give help, but also when I need to step back, let this other person kind of lead or teach me something. Like, I always need to be open to learning something from my direct reports. we're just humans working with each other. It's not this weird like dynamic of like, I'm above somebody. I try to never think about it in that way. And I think that's really important. It's like somebody can be a really good manager, but not be a good designer, and that's fine. And somebody can be a really good designer and just not good at management. Yep. And that person who's not good at design could be managing somebody who's better at design, for example. So I try and think about it from that perspective. And there's so many good books on and videos on management styles. For example, like Making of a Manager, that's a classic one that came out a couple of years ago. One that I like is Articulating Design Decisions, which really helps with like communication, both on your team and with other departments. And lastly, one that I saw recently that I'll recommend is Howard Schultz. He was the former CEO of Starbucks, and he has a masterclass on like his management style and how he approaches management, and just such a kind, genuine person, the way that he approaches it, even though he's like the CEO of this huge company and everything, there's just so many really nice pieces of advice that I think can work at any size of the team. And he really gives that perspective kind of really good justice from that point. So yeah, I watched that recently and really enjoy it too. Yeah. I feel like I rambled a ton there, but
no, that, I mean, so much densely packed advice and info. I wish we could dive into all of it, but I think one thing I wanted to speak to is I think people do better work when they are valued and supported and in a good culture. Because as we've kind of talked about, people aren't just machines that are just like pounding out whatever their level of skill is. People are going to do their best work when they feel valued and supported and cared for, and all of those things within a design team. And all of those things take a lot of extra time outside of just the core task of like building something. People need to know that they're cared for and that they're supported regardless of what they produce in their designs, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously you have to produce and grow and do good things, but you can't do that if someone's breathing down your neck, ready to tear apart your work. Like, that's just going to like paralyze people and make them not be as creative or able to think and have the space to do what they need to do. So I think that's like a huge aspect of cultivating the right type of design team.
Yeah, I agree. And I've been in those positions too, where it's like I'm looked at as like a resource rather than like a person as a part of a team. So that's kind of what I've tried to change as I've moved up and like been more of a manager type of role. It's like, I don't want anybody to ever feel like that, because it's like you said, like it's one of the worst feelings, and you don't put out your best work if you're kind of being treated in that way. It's much better to just have a culture of lifting others up and kind of giving positive reinforcement and whatnot, and knowing when you need to step in and have those discussions. But it's never from a point of like maliciousness or pointing fingers or anything like that. It's for the better of the team. It's like, we need to work on something. I want to help you.
Yeah.
I want to be there for you. Like, how can I be of assistance, et cetera?
Totally. I think within a team, there's always different aspects of like picking up the slack or getting the slack picked up for you, right? So it's like someone might be doing something in their life they really need to focus on, and it's going to take them a little bit away from work. So the rest of the team kind of needs to help pick up the slack. But inevitably, that's going to happen to everyone else on the team, where they're going to have times where they need a helping hand, or they need a boost, or they need you to cover for them. And that's just part of being a good team, right? If someone misses the shot in basketball, you got four other folks who are going to help stop the offense that's coming down. And that's just like normal. And it's normal in business design to like have to extend yourself to like cover for someone, or you know, your team to do the same for you. So I think if you can get to that sort of level where that's kind of like known and expected and prepared for, that's like the start of a great team and culture.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I love and why I decided to go the managerial track. Like, going back to, it might not be a good fit for you. Like, there's some people that do better in the IC role. I like a mix of both, but it's like what you're saying. That's part of why I love it. Like, building teams from the ground up, finding people that really mesh well together, have complementing skill sets, complementing personality, bring diversity to the team. that's what's fun for me. And I think like just a little bit of advice there, like if that's something that sounds enticing to anyone, I definitely encourage you to look at the managerial aspect and try it out and see if maybe that's something that you can help with right now or maybe for your next role that you're looking for.
Absolutely. Well, Dennis, I can't think of a more densely insight-packed podcast than this episode. So thank you so much for sharing all of your insight and wisdom. And I felt like that was just a fantastic knowledge dump that all our listeners are going to be the beneficiaries of. I feel like we could talk for a few more hours, but maybe we'll save that for a later episode.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks again for having me.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us today on the Product Design Podcast. If you enjoyed our conversation, be sure and go follow our guest. Let them know they did a great job and you learned a lot. More to come in the following weeks as we bring on new guests. Please hit that subscribe button so that you will get these podcasts and learn a ton about the product design community. Excited to see you next time. Thanks.